Good morning, everybody. Looks like we saw a few new faces coming in here this morning, and we're blessed to have you today. This morning will be a little bit different than normal, and that to give you a little background, our church started about the September 4th. It'll be 3 years, and what an incredible 3 years it's been, watching God work and watching the Lord build the church in His perfect timing, and being able to participate in watching the saints be built up and growing together as a family and in worship. The church began, really, the idea of Reverence Bible Church began probably about 3 or 4, maybe 5 years prior to when the church started. And that was with Pastor Dan Gammy and I talking about the possibility of starting a church someday. There was a like-mindedness that was there between the two of us. And we talked about it and just said, let's just pray about it. And year after year after year went by following the time that we had talked about it. And then there came a time about 3 years ago right now that we knew that without a doubt that God had moved us into that direction of starting a church. And Dan and I have served, and Robin as well, and the kids in all over Africa, Romania together. Just a blessing of years of ministering with one another, and became without a doubt one of my very best friends. Someone who was a groomsman in my wedding and in our wedding, someone I love serving with. If you don't know very much about Dan is one of those people that he knows almost everything that you could possibly know. He's someone who is, his background he was a forensic scientist, taught forensic science at university level. He worked with the Orange County Sheriff's Department for years and now does things more along the lines of structural engineering and things like that. He's funny because you can ask him something like for example, there was a tsetse fly in the car with us when we were in Uganda, and it's the most wicked creature that's ever been made, and it would just bite people left and right. I mean, like, crazy. And I asked Dan, like, well, what happens? And he went on to give me like this probably 2 hour exhortation of the tsetse fly, of how it bites you, what happens, the sleeping sickness, what happens from that. And then I knew why he was in a little bit of a panic. There was another time we're in Romania, and he had saw something that he thought had asbestos in it, and he was stressed about it, and I'm like, well, what happened? And so he went into another 2 hour dissertation as far as how it connects to your lung, why your lung can't get rid of it, and we're glad you're still here, Dan, with us today, because he was ready to die at any moment from what had just happened. But it's a joy to be able to have him as a friend. He has been a blessing to our church, serving as the associate pastor, and teaching the midweek studies, serving in the setup and takedown, and being there for counsel, for wisdom, someone that the Lord specifically placed within Reverence Bible Church to help the church begin, and who we will continue to serve with for a long time. Him and Robin and the family are moving out to Colorado, and they'll be serving there at a school that's there, and Dan will be teaching there as well as being the pastor over the school, and it's a school that his daughter Leslie and her husband Jeff run, and it's going to be incredible to watch Dan and Robin serve there. Robin's been a blessing teaching with the women's ministry. She's been a blessing to our church in a number of different ways as far as just administratively being here. I mean, so much of what you see set up and how things happened was the result of the Gammy family and them just being so involved. My favorite story with Robin was when she was in, there's a couple that are really good, but one was, just to give you an idea, if you're here and you don't know her that well, she will frequently sit someplace in the church, and when I make eye contact with her, she'll go. And that just messes with you when you're teaching and you're looking. And for me, it's Robin, and I know, like, OK, okay, whatever, you know. And she had done this for literally years. And just, she thinks she's so funny. She's in the background, Robin, you know, like. And we were in Egypt, and I'm not exaggerating. It was probably 130 degrees inside this room as I was pastoring, teaching in Egypt. It was packed. Like, if there's 130 people here today in this room, it would have been like having 1,000 people in this room. You're up against everybody. You're sweating like you've never sweat before. It was awesome. And I had probably 50 people behind me on the stage because there was no more room left in this particular building. And Robin's sitting in front, and she's just profusely sweating. It was just awesome to see. I don't know if it had ever happened before. And she's sweating, and she takes the Kleenex, and she starts dabbing herself with Kleenex. Well, I'm looking at her, and she's got globs of Kleenex all over her face. And I'm teaching, and I'm like, I'm serious, because this is serious teaching in Egypt, and I'm preaching, and I'm looking at her, and I'm so happy, and I just keep going, and I would look at her and say, and she does this. And I keep teaching, and I look, and she's just going. Then all of a sudden, she goes like this, and she pulls off a piece of Kleenex, and she's like, surprised that it's there, and I keep teaching. This went on for about 20 minutes. I would pick different places on her face, and she would pull off another piece of Kleenex. And it's just how good the Lord is to me in the midst of all that she has done to do practical jokes on me when I'm teaching. So, but yeah, a blessing. Almost got abducted by a terrorist. You don't start confrontations with people in Islamic jihad-run countries. Most people wouldn't. Robin does. She proceeds to go on the attack. But Pastor Derek was there to rescue her, and that was exciting. But a joy to be able to serve with the Gammies for all these years. They've been a blessing to our body. And this Dan will be here for another couple weeks, and Robin and Emily and the rest of the kids will be heading out to Colorado this upcoming week. And so we're doing a going away party for them this upcoming afternoon, just I think a lot of people will be going immediately after church, but from like 3 to 7 or 4 to 7, I think it says, will there be food and all that. And down at Salt Creek, it'd be a blessing right there. If you're going down, it's by the basketball courts just to the right. It should be a blessing to our congregation to be there and to send them out. The blessing, though, has been the like-mindedness as far as having a church that is committed to being Christ-centered, Bible-driven, church that loves doctrine, a church that loves to preach Christ and Him crucified, where there is no individuals who are the center at our church. It is Christ completely. And we have been blessed to have like-minded people with us, and I can't emphasize to you enough how much this family will be missed, and what a blessing we have been given to have the Gammies with us for as long as we have. And so I asked if Pastor Dan would. I knew that I thought about teaching a farewell message to him to be able to send him out, and I thought there will be tears, and I wouldn't be able to make it through. So I said, well, Dan, you need to do a message to us prior to leaving, and so we're just blessed to be able to have Pastor Dan teach a message, and I'm sure he'll be coming back and teaching periodically over the course of the years to come, but we wanted to be able to take this opportunity. So, Pastor Dan?
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for those kind words, and what great memories. What great memories we have, and he's given me the task to do a farewell message, and I said, I'm the one that's going to be up here blubbering now, having to do this. So if I get emotionally out of control, or if I start coughing uncontrollably or falling asleep, you'll know it's either the tsetse fly or the asbestos or just the emotion of the moment. But again, it is such a great privilege for me to come and to stand before you and to come here on this day, actually on a day full of emotion, as it is the last Sunday that my family in its entirety will be residing here in Southern California. And as Kevin mentioned, today is a day to say goodbye. And I made it about 2 minutes, didn't I? But to basically share with you for the last time as the associate pastor of Reverence Bible Church, and I plan really for this to be a time not so much to share of all of the sentiments and the tremendous memories that I have, but to once again share from you, from the Word of God, and most importantly, to bear testimony of the greatness of our God. Now, I have lived my entire life in Southern California, and I actually never thought that I would ever be moving away from here, but God has other plans, because He has clearly called my family and myself to another place. There we're going to teach and exhort and to encourage and disciple parents and their children towards a life that honors God and serves the Lord in Colorado Springs. And it's amazing to me, and I'm ever so impressed to see the path that God takes us in this life as He is so very faithful always to equip us and to enable us for ministry according to His purpose and according to His good pleasure. And to give you, as Kevin gave you a bit, a view of our immediate future, for some of you who aren't aware, again, as Kevin mentioned, Rob and I are going to be coming alongside my eldest daughter, Leslie, and her husband, who have recently been thrust into a position as administrators of a private Christian school in Colorado Springs. And it's a school that this year is entering its third year. It's a young school, but it's a healthy school. And yet, like so many places in our nation, it contains families that are seeking spiritual direction and training for the discipling of their children. It consists of families that are seeking a solid, firm Christian foundation and a very Christ-centered atmosphere for the education of their children. And it is a school that I think shares the vision of raising a coming generation to be a powerful witness and to be a great light to the community of Colorado Springs and the world as a whole. And Robert and I know, without any question, that God's hand has been upon us and that He has been equipping us for such a purpose as this with a vision now to make a significant impact upon these families and upon this community, not in our own strength, but certainly through the power of God working in us. You know, I look back over the years and, you know, in moments like this and farewell messages and significant, I guess, circumstances such as what I look at today in my life, I look back and see what God has done. And extending all the way back into 1980, which was the year that Robin and I were married some 28 years ago, God began this preparation. Even the preparation right up today, as even in our first year of marriage, we started a home Bible fellowship there, and I began teaching the Word, and it was also that same year that Robin began working as an admissions and college transcript advisor at Biola University. And even in that event there, God was equipping her with valuable knowledge of what colleges were looking for and enabling her, as she has throughout all these years, to advise parents in Christian private education on what they need to do to prepare their children. And through the years that followed, as Kevin mentioned, as I worked as a forensic scientist, as a family, we were very involved in family ministries, teaching biblical parenting studies and seminars. 11 years ago, Robin and I founded and started and ministrated a private Christian school called the Master's Academy. It is composed primarily of homeschool families, and we have headed that ministry for a little over the last decade. And I share this with you because all along we have seen God preparing and equipping us so that ultimately whatever lies ahead and whatever good comes from it, whatever is praiseworthy, it all goes to Him. It all goes to the Lord. And now as we prepare to leave, Robin is going to be the academic administrator for this school. As Kevin mentioned, I'll be serving as a pastor and a teacher. I'll be teaching the science curriculum and math and the Bible curriculums, as well as leading the chapel services and also encouraging the school as a whole, the students and the parents from the Word of God as we have our regular parent staff meetings. And even in our recent visits to this ministry of Colorado Springs the last year, God has just so confirmed this calling. And that is such a nice thing when God is so faithful to make it clear He has brought great fruit, and he's brought really a very positive reaction to our times where we have been there to speak. And even with our distant involvement with this ministry, we have seen God working through us as he has done a great work. And so now, by faith, we set out looking to God's provision and trusting in his faithfulness. And of course, at the same time, we say goodbye to our friends here at Reverence Bible Church. But the experience that we have had here in this church has been wonderful. It has been such a great blessing. And Kevin kind of gave a little historical perspective. I couldn't help but reflect upon that. You know, as I was looking at, okay, I'm going to give a farewell message here. I couldn't help but reflect that what I recall was about 5 years ago when Kevin and we went out to dinner, and he approached me and informed me that God had put a calling in his life to someday be a senior pastor and to start a new fellowship to further serve the Mission Viejo, Lake Forest, Foothill Ranch area. And he asked that when this occurs someday, and you got to understand the operative word there is someday. That was what I was kind of leaning on, was the someday word. He asked, though, would I be willing to come alongside and to help him in establishing this work that God is doing and to be his associate pastor? And, of course, thinking that that would still be several years away. And, of course, God had already really prepared me that this calling would someday spring forth, not only for Kevin, but also for myself, that I then responded agreeably. And, of course, the surprise came, I think, really for both of us when God's timing was considerably different than what we thought that timing would be. And in less than 2 years, Reverence Bible Church was established and the board of this church was assembled together. And I tell you, the past 3 years of serving as a pastor and an elder of this church, for me, has been a source of great growth. It has been a place of great joy. And again, I've seen once again God's sovereign hand providing for and abundantly sustaining his work. And so now, like I say, it's time to say goodbye. And I struggled really with the assembly of this farewell message because I found myself saying, you know, what do you say? You know, what do you say on an occasion like this? We know that goodbyes are a common part of life experience, and yet it is still difficult. It's difficult, I think, because the connections are so tight that you form within a church body, the care and concern that you have for your people that are there. And I find myself at times at a loss for words, because really what words can express your hopes and your desires for people that you care so much for? And since my words, I believe, would be so woefully inadequate, I'm going to let the Bible do the speaking for me. And therefore, I'd like to direct your attention to a prayer by the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1. And we are going to look at verses 9 through 14. I've entitled this, A Prayer for Equipping and Fruitfulness. Because within this prayer, certainly Paul encourages us that we would be equipped with the knowledge of God, and that through that knowledge of him, we would be faithful in every good work. And so before we begin, if you would, please join with me in a word of prayer as we pray for this study. Heavenly Father, again, we rejoice in knowing that you are a great and glorious God, worthy of our worship and full of mercy and grace. And now as we come to the study of your word, I pray that you would give us attentive minds and an open heart. And Lord, I ask that you would strengthen me in giving this message on a day and an occasion that is quite emotional. And Lord, I ask that you would cause it so that you would increase and that I would decrease through this time of study. Lord, again, speak to us. Encourage your people, transform them by the work of the Holy Spirit, and may we see Christ in a greater, more glorious way this morning. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Again, as I said, this is a prayer for the church. And I see here, too, it is an example of how we are to intercede for the body of Christ. That we are to be a people that pray not just for our personal needs, which sometimes we can get focused in our prayer life, but that we are part of a body of believers. And then in that we pray for the whole body as an act of our unity of faith. And Paul here in Colossians, at the very beginning of this epistle, as he writes to this church, he really celebrates in the first 8 verses of the reports that he has received concerning the church's qualities, about their apostolic signature of faith and of love and of hope and of a joy for the gospel. Now, he is going to address later on in this letter the concerns that he has, but at least initially, at the beginning of the letter, he is commending them. Commending them for the operation of their faith and their love. And then right after those first 8 verses, he instinctively then moves into prayer, and it is a wonderfully structured prayer of intercession. And as I thought about my desires for this church body, and as I thought about what is it that I would say, I found here in Colossians a prayer that I think expresses that desire perfectly. And so I'd like to study through this prayer, and as we do, know that this is my prayer for you. This is my prayer for Reverence Bible Church. And so, if you will, I'm going to start in verse 9 and read through 14. And he says, "For this reason, we also, since the day that we heard it," that is their response in faith, "we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Again, Paul begins this letter with a request here for greater spiritual knowledge and understanding. And then he moves on to address the church's conduct, their minds, and their walk. And again, this is truly a great prayer for the church. A prayer in its basic structure that I encourage all of you to pray for as well as you pray on behalf of the leadership here. Pray on behalf of the elders who are making decisions concerning this church. Pray on behalf of the entirety of the ministries here, the children's ministry, the youth ministries, the men's and women's ministries. It's a great model prayer for us, and I want to go back through it as Paul prays initially for knowledge. Again, in verse 9, he says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And in verse 10, he prays for an increase in the knowledge of God. Now, I emphasize that because to me it is significant that the first thing that Paul is praying for, as he's praying for the church, is for right spiritual knowledge and understanding. This is so important for us. Now, the Colossian church here is under siege at this exact point. There is heretical teaching that is coming into the church. And, please understand, heretical teaching is not a problem in this church. But we are surrounded by a worldview that is increasingly new age and increasingly compromising. And, many of the churches today are not holding fast to the diligent teaching of the study of the Bible, and they are instead abandoning God's word to incorporate, more moderate, man-pleasing messages about how to experience the good life or how to experience a happy life. Sometimes you just drive down the street and you look at the monikers and, this Sunday's morning message, and sometimes when I look at those, they seem so man-centered, how you can really enjoy life, and those things. And not that there's anything wrong with that. But the Bible clearly tells us that it will not always be a good, happy life because times of suffering do come to the Christian. And we know that. There are people that are hurting that come to the church because they have gone through times of suffering. In fact, it's to be expected. But you see, the great news of the gospel is that we can endure such things. Such times of suffering we can endure with joy and great confidence because we have been reconciled with God. We have been gifted with salvation in Christ. We have been given a certain, that is a sure hope of glory in our future. This is the good news. And so Paul in his prayer is not praying for just any knowledge here, but he's praying for us as a church that we would be filled with a knowledge that comes from a relationship with Christ, a knowledge of truth that is full and that is overflowing, that you and I, that we would know Christ intimately and not just intellectually, that you would come to know Christ in such a way that you know him as much as you possibly can, a heart-transforming, life-renewing kind of knowledge, a knowledge that is at once both spiritual and yet immensely practical, as he says here, to know his will for you. And as Paul starts his prayer with this knowledge of God, the necessity of praying for that knowledge of God, it is apparent to me that he considers this biblical, very God-centered knowledge to be absolutely essential and foundational to the growth and the health of the Christian life. And we know that from other intercessory prayers of Paul, we see him expressing the same priority of the need to have a knowledge of God, that is to know God, and that it leads to spiritual wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Again in Ephesians 1:9, he says, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." Again in Philemon 1:6, he says, "And I pray that the sharing of your faith may be effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." Again, we see Paul in his prayer, the knowledge of God is a centerpiece. What we know of God is foundational. And yet we also know that God reveals himself through his word. And it is through his word that we gain knowledge of him and that we acquire spiritual wisdom. And that is why it is so important for a church. It's why this church is from its very inception, designed to be a Bible-based, spiritually-centered church, because the priority over and over in Scripture is there. And Paul is setting forth the priority to know God is so important. It's the first thing that he prays for, and it's the first priority that we have in this church. And the founding of this church was all about that, studying the Word expositionally, that we would know him. By knowing him, we would love him. Priority of knowing God, knowing his Word. And through that word, we know the Holy Spirit comes to us and reproves us of sin. It is the Holy Spirit then that points us to Christ and renews us by bringing us into that knowledge of Christ. And so for us, we are to have a life of studying the word. It is so important. I truly believe that God's stamp of blessing rests upon the mind that is filled with the knowledge of him. A filling that comes from diligently studying the word. And that's why, again, I say I think this church has it right. That's why I'm so very proud of this church and to be a part of this church, because I think it's right, a proper focus on the expositional teaching of the word. It's the very center of every service, if you notice you come here. Whether you're here Sunday or on the midweek, or if you're involved in the youth services, even in the children's ministry, it is the word that is the center of these things. It is the word and nothing but the word. Because that's where we learn of God. That's where God communicates to us. And that's how we grow. Joshua, when he was commissioned to enter the land of promise, was given this command. Let me read it to you from Joshua 1:8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." To meditate upon it day and night. That is what I pray for in this church. I pray that it will always be a church that is centered on the Bible, a church that would increase in knowledge. And again, not just any knowledge, but an increase in the knowledge that is communicated to us in the Bible. You know, again, as I said, you know, the church as a whole today is in trouble. It's suffering the consequences, I think, in many ways, of a lack of biblical knowledge. And sadly, I think this is a self-inflicted harm. Again, because many of the churches have intentionally abandoned the expositional teaching of the word, and they've abandoned it for something more entertaining and something more man-pleasing. And there are people out there that are dying spiritually And it's because of a lack of knowledge. And so again, as I present to you a farewell message, it is my prayer for everyone here, not so much for physical health and well-being, although I do have that, that it would be well with you, but even more so, that it would be in your life a time of great revelation of Jesus Christ in your life and upon your life. And increased knowledge and understanding that just that flows out from Him. And so the exhortation to me, from me, is this: meditate in His Word. Meditate upon His Word. Don't drift off during the preaching of the Word as it is a temptation to do, but instead concentrate. Work at being attentive. And even if it requires being a note taker, this note taking really helps us to retain information and to hold it. Get all that is taught here into your mind. It's such great teaching in this church. And we need to be hungry for biblical knowledge, and yet I know that many of you are, and it is so great to be a part of this fellowship because of that. Well, as Paul has been talking about the need for knowledge of God and a greater knowledge of God, he now makes the proper transition to pray for the church's conduct. We saw in verse 9, he said, "Be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And then verse 10, he says, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." It says here, walk worthy of the Lord. Walk here is a metaphor for conduct, and we know that Paul uses this word frequently. In fact, even in this epistle he does. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." In other words, so conduct your lives in Him. Again, in chapter 3, he says, "Because these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them." Notice he's saying how you once conducted yourself in these things. And the issue of our walk and our conduct is so very important, because as he spoke of knowledge and of God, and now he's speaking of conduct, these aspects of knowledge and conduct are interwoven here. It's very important, and that we understand that as Paul prays for our conduct, that this conduct and our understanding be wed together, our knowledge. You know, unlike other religions where there are those that think that as long as you have right understanding and right knowledge, that is, as long as you know truth, you can live your life any way you want. But in Christianity, the knowledge that we have and our right conduct are wed together. We are to do the truth. Spiritual understanding actually means action for us. We can't rightly be people who are motivated to knowledge but neglect activity any more than we can be people that are involved in a lot of activity and shun knowledge and neglect our studies. And in the Bible, these two extremes don't exist. A knowledge of God and a right activity, they go together. And I see here Paul is zeroing in on this. And if we are to be a people of a profound knowledge, then we must be a people of a profound walk. And ours is not to be, as we know, a life that is to be lived half-hearted, but one that is fully seeking God. And I see here Paul's prayer. It's my prayer for you, is that the church would in every way walk the talk that we have here. That we'd walk the talk, that the biblical knowledge that is imparted here at every service, at every study, would translate into God-glorifying, fruitful action. Well, Paul goes on in his prayer to get more specific, and he tells us now how our conduct ought to be and how we ought to walk. And he says first here at verse 10, that may you be fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Fully pleasing Him. And I thought, you know, how are we pleasing to Him? How are we pleasing to God? And I think the scripture probably puts it most effectively in a negative way in Hebrews 11, verse 6, where we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I think, put simply, faith is what pleases Him. Faith pleases Him. We see in the Gospels that every time Jesus approved or commended people, it was because of their faith. And fruit, the action here, is the visible evidence of a true faith in the believer's life. And that's why I say these things go together. So Paul is praying for our conduct, that it would spring forth from faith and our knowledge of God to be fully pleasing Him and fruitful in every good work. The fruitful evidence of a transformed life, too, is a thing called godliness. A godliness that shines forth as a result of this knowledge. And it is a great witness, a witness that others see. And may that witness always be in this church, a church of fruitfulness, a true church truly of faithfulness. Again, we have throughout this prayer this affirmation of the profound relationship between what we know and what we are to do. And I know that in times past, people have come here and they've asked questions of us. And some of those questions have been, why does this church seem to always place such a strong emphasis upon the attributes of God? Why does this church seem to emphasize so much His sovereignty and His power and His grace and His immutability and so on? And I say to you, the answer is because a right knowledge of God, which Paul is praying for here, and an understanding of our position in Christ is so essential to living the Christian life effectively and to His glory. So essential. And that's why that's the emphasis here. And Paul says, even in Philippians 3:10, he says, that I may know Him. Again, he's bringing it back, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. That is the level that Paul desires to know the Lord, desires to know Christ. It is to know Him as much as is possible in this mortal state that we are in. And true knowledge with faith brings forth this fruitfulness that he now is addressing here. And again, that kind of fruitfulness is so very evident here at Reverence Bible Church. And that's why it is such a joy to be here. And may that continue to be true. That is my prayer for you. A prayer for an increase in understanding of God and a prayer for fruitfulness and activity within the church body, fully pleasing Him, fruitful in every good work. Secondly, Paul, as he continues to address how we ought to walk in verse 11, he says that we'd be strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. The power that is prayed for here in this prayer is huge. It is a constant renewing power, and its source is God, a power that is focused so that there might be steadfastness, as he says here, and long-suffering and perseverance and patience and endurance, even in the midst of conflicts. And I tell you what, folks, the reality is that we will face conflicts, unfortunately. There are conflicts. Conflicts will come into your life. Conflicts will come into your family. Conflicts will come into the church body. But the exhortation here is that God might strengthen you to keep doing right and to persevere through those circumstances and to be patient with people. I think that Paul knew that because of our human nature, it is going to require a constant infusion of the power of God according to His might to accomplish this level of perseverance and patience through circumstances and through conflicts. And we need the power of God. Amen? Every one of us, we need the power of God. And how I also pray for Reverence Bible Church for a constant infusion of the power of God towards perseverance, towards patience. And then thirdly, Paul prays for one more aspect of our walk and conduct I want to share with you, and it's also my prayer, and that is giving thanks to the Father. This is in verse 12. I think in many ways this is the summit of this prayer. It all builds to this, that we would just be a people that are awash with thanksgiving. I don't think that you can walk worthy of the Lord without a thankful spirit. Being always thankful for what He has done. In verses 12 through 14, Paul further delineates this thankfulness on why we are so thankful. Let me read that. It's glorious verses here. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. I love the verbs in this. He has qualified us. He has delivered us. He has conveyed us. I mean, you read these three verses, and these are such marvelous statements of truth that they really hardly need any exposition. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, and he has done that right now. This is reality for us. It's reality for us because he did it. If it was dependent upon me, I would have no assurance, but because he did it, it's a reality, and nothing can take this away from us. We inherit a Father's love. We inherit a Savior's presence. We inherit a certain destiny of glory after death, delivered from darkness, transferred into the kingdom of his Son, redeemed through his blood, forgiven. This is glorious. And how does all this happen? It's because he has qualified us. It's because he did it all, and we share in that ultimate glory someday, and it is all of grace, and we should be thankful. We should have a thankful spirit. God has made us his children. Our guilt and our sin has been removed. And when we see him in all of his majesty, as we see here, and in all of his beauty, we love him. And we desire to live honorably before him. And we are so thankful. Thankful, just rejoicing every day that our sins are forgiven. And as I read through this prayer and I was contemplating using it as a farewell message, as I thought it had so many great qualities for a church, for an increase in the knowledge of God, an increase in spiritual understanding, to walk worthy in the manner of the Lord and to be fully pleasing to him in every way, be thankful. I saw in here too such a great display of the gospel, and I can't think of a better way to say farewell to a church that I love so much than to again proclaim the truth of the gospel, even as it is presented here in this prayer, that Christ has purchased us. By faith he has removed our sin, and by his grace we have been adopted into the family of God, eternally secure in him. Folks, that is the wonderful gospel. And I share with Paul when Paul said in Romans 1, where he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Oh, such great truth there. And in saying goodbye, my prayer for this church, again, is as Paul has prayed here, that this church would continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ, and that absolutely nothing would ever overshadow that priority here. And that all of you here would be empowered with all might according to his glorious power, and that you would be steadfast, that you'd be patient through circumstances with people, in unity, that you would be bearing fruit, using your gifts, each one of you, using your gifts to honor Christ in all things, and also in all things, to joyously give thanks to our great God and our Savior. And that through these things, I know that God will be glorified, and that his name will be exalted all throughout Saddleback Valley and beyond. I tell you what an amazing time this has been. I thank you. I thank you for the past 3 years. I attest to you that what is going on here at Reverence Bible Church is a tremendous work of God. Sorry. It's been such a privilege for me. Such a privilege to be a part of this. And I thank you for it. Let's pray. Lord God, I rejoice as I have witnessed, Lord, your sovereign hand move among your people with power and with an abundance of grace. I ask, God, that you would continue to strengthen, to build this church. Continue, Lord, to gift your people for for service to one another, for the building up of love and unity among the believers here at Reverence Bible Church. For all of us, Lord, bring an increase in the true knowledge of you, that through that knowledge, Lord, I pray that you would affect our conduct so that we might rightly exalt you and to magnify you among the people. Lord, may we never divorce what we know from what we do. Help us, Lord, to do the truth. Again, I pray for your blessing upon this church. Pray for your blessing upon the pastoral leadership here, for the Sunday school teachers, for the moms and dads here, for the children, for the single adults. Lord, for all that are here. Lord, we rightly recognize that this is your church. You have built it, and you will sustain it. And to you, all glory goes. And we proclaim, Lord, that there is no boasting in the work of any man, but we boast in you alone. We pray, Lord, that to you be glory, to you be honor, and all praise. Amen.
Amen.